Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may this opportunity this morning to hear your word sung, spoken, proclaimed, prayed, be for us an opportunity to become one with you, one with each other, and one with ourselves. And all of God's children say,
Amen.
Some of you are aware of the fact that I used to be a soldier. I deployed from Washington, D.C., to Europe in the winter of 1989-1990. The wall had just come down. I got to Heidelberg, Germany in January of 1990. Lieutenant Colonel, my boss was a full colonel, and I got there, and to say that I was a skeptic about this Jesus thing, this God thing, is probably an understatement. I'm not sure if I was a total non-believer, but I wasn't somebody who embraced and wrapped my mind around this real avidly with a lot of enthusiasm. My boss was a very firm believer, and he ran up right at the edge of perhaps a little bit, maybe a little too much, but he bought tickets for all of his officers there in Heidelberg, worked for about 15 of us or so, bought a ticket for us for a prayer breakfast. And Marilyn was back in the United States. I was there in Germany. Dollars were a little tight. So free breakfast, what the heck? What can I lose? Right? Free breakfast. U.S. Army Europe felt a responsibility to have a rabbi always in Heidelberg. It was symbolic, very symbolic. They provided religious services not just for the soldiers in Mannheim, Germany, or Heidelberg, Germany, but they also provided religious services for the Jews who were left in Mannheim, who were left in Heidelberg. Matter of fact, the space in which the synagogue met was there at U.S. Army Europe headquarters, where they met. The prayer breakfast that morning was a rabbi. Ate my breakfast, had a wonderful breakfast. Even though the army cooked it, it was a wonderful meal. And he got up and talked about Passover. Got up and talked about Passover and reminding us that part of the purpose of Passover was about time. It was this juxtaposition of time. Through food, through ritual, through prayer, the people that were receiving the Passover meal were reminded of what God had done in Egypt, bringing that past experience into the present in such a way that people could see that present experience and understand their present experience and see their future altered as a result of this past. He was reminding them of the story, and food, words, ritual, all serve to bring them together in this moment. I walked out. Wow, that is cool. I'm not so sure I feel about all this God stuff, but that's cool. I like that. I think it helped prepare me for my experience about a year later when I decided to bend the arc of my life to God's arc and not my own arc. Jesus, at his first communion, wasn't giving us something new. It wasn't a brand new element. He was building off of what had gone on before. It was this Passover meal that was being celebrated with some adaptation, some change that was to it. But again, just like that Passover meal that Jesus did, where he celebrated that first Eucharist, that first Thanksgiving for what God was going to do with him the next day and then the following Easter. It was this juxtaposition of time. It was this collision of time. It was a borderline earthquake of time, because in the present, you had this past brought into the present in such a way that you could live a different future. We've changed it. We've changed it in how we've done this. Our experience is different now than how we do it, than how we did it then. For example, if you listened closely to what Rob was reading, you could tell, you could hear that the breaking of the bread occurred early in the meal and the sharing of the cup occurred later in the meal. Our tradition over time has been that we've altered that. We now have this collision of these two things and we put them right together into borderline one event. Not the only time in the church we've ever done this. I mean, we come in for children's pageants at Christmas and we have shepherds standing there with wise men. We've combined Luke and Matthew together. We do it all the time. Helps remind us of this past story, and we can bring them together in some kind of way to make some coherent sense. And the dilemma that Paul has in this passage here in Corinthians is that the group of people that he's talking to, the Corinthians, big egos. You might as well have said in their world, when somebody was a Corinthian, they were larger than life. They were so confident in who they were. I am a Corinthian and I'm not going to bend my will to anybody. And what's sad about it is that they were proud of that. They were proud of that. And Paul has gotten a report. He's not there at Corinth. He's gotten a report that the nature of how communion is being served in the church in Corinth disrupts the idea of being one. It's a big idea for Paul. Over and over again in Paul's writings, he focuses on the idea of the fact that when you become part of the church, when you become part of the body of Christ, you have to sort of forego a little bit of who you are, give up a little bit of who you are, and merge your talents, merge your skills, merge your gifts and graces into God's understanding of the kingdom. Corinthians are standing there going, I'm a Corinthian and I'm proud of it. And Paul is saying, well, you're certainly not a Christian right now. You're certainly not behaving like a Christian right now. And he takes them back to this and he reminds them of what it was that he has taught them about what communion is all about. And he uses some words that are similar to words that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're not John, but they're Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He uses words that are similar there. And he reminds them of what it is that is supposed to be going on. And he reminds them in terms of being one with the body. He asks them sort of sacrifice a little bit of who they are. Bend their will to God's will. Now Luke, who is a companion of Paul's, will take this, and he'll take the stories that he's gotten and he'll remind us. He'll take the story and he'll say, well, I know that Jesus, I heard from others that Jesus on the day of Easter, on Easter day, journeyed to Emmaus. And they couldn't recognize him. The travelers with Jesus, the pilgrims with him, could not recognize who Jesus was. Couldn't see him. Couldn't. He was walking along with them and they just could not see who Jesus was. And he talks to them and he shares with them the nature of the prophets and who it is that they are called to be. And their hearts got on fire. Wow. Their hearts were on fire. They were with Jesus and didn't even recognize him. They get to their destination. Come on back. Come on back and join us. Join us, unknown man, unknown disciple. Join us here. And he sits down with them. And somehow, he returns to a ritual that they had seen Jesus do before. He takes the bread, breaks it. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and then he gives it back to them. And all of a sudden, their eyes were opened. Hey, this is Jesus. And they left to go tell others that we have encountered the risen Lord. It's an important element of Luke's story. It's an important element of the story overall for us to be able to understand who Jesus was. He's sort of this ritual of taking, blessing, breaking, giving. It's this chance for us to see in that passage what it is that God invites us to be with the church, to take God's grace, to bless it, to maybe break ourselves a little bit, bend the arc of who we are a little bit, break that, and then give it back to the rest of the world. There's a collision of things that can occur here. There's 1,000 variables off of this and how you might understand it. But what Paul was trying to communicate to this group in Corinth very powerfully is that stuff that you had, those values that you had, who you thought you were, who you said you were, you need to leave that outside. Because when you come in to celebrate the Lord's meal, you're invited to be one with God, one with the Holy Spirit, one with Jesus, one with this community, and maybe even one with yourself. When I was at Wesley Seminary in Washington, D.C., there was one of the students there was a Navy chaplain. And it's an ecumenical ministry to be a chaplain. You have to sort of combine multiple traditions as all part of your responsibility. And he said communion was one of those examples where things got a little chaotic, a little messed up, a little out of kilter. You have, for example, an Episcopalian or a Catholic, and they would have the communion elements, and for them, this is the body and blood of Christ. Not metaphorically, literally. You get a guy like me who was raised Baptist, it's crackers and grape juice. Do you see the collision? Do you see the collision that can exist there when you have these two different value sets that exist there? And the nature of the church is to try to figure out some kind of way to bring those things together so that we are all one in our focus, one in our ministry, one in our attitudes about how it is that we're going to go out and serve God in the world. Now, one of the rules of being a preacher is you're supposed to get people's permission before you use them as an example. Okay, so I'm going to ask for forgiveness here. Can I be forgiven in advance? Because I didn't get Leanne's permission to use her. She knew this was coming. But in spite of what Leanne believes, we don't have to do everything here exactly the way it was done at Pulaski Heights in Little Rock, Arkansas. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. Is it okay? Is it okay, Leanne, if we don't do it exactly like we do in Pulaski? It's not okay. Maybe we need to do it like we did at Ash Street Baptist in Forest Park, Georgia. We need to pass out saltine crackers in itty-bitty cups. Remember those? Anybody ever had that happen to them? I'm seeing a few heads nod. Okay, yeah. This is an eclectic group. That's church talk for diverse, rich, different. Okay? Lots of backgrounds, lots of things. Your experience, it may not be my experience. Your tradition may not be my tradition. Okay? But we need to remind ourselves that the purpose of communion, which is what Paul kept coming back to over and over again, reminding them of, the purpose of communion was to bring us together, not to take us apart. And when communion starts to bring us apart, we need to have a conversation. We need to have a dialogue. We need to have a chat about that. Steve Goodyear was the district superintendent when I was appointed here to Hilltop. And before he left to go to Salt Lake, he's going to be appointed to First Loveland here in about 2 months, by the way. First Loveland, Colorado. Steve, got any guidance for me? Yes, Dennis, I do. Wow. How should I lead? What should I do at Hilltop? Dennis, listen and lead. Listen and lead. Listen and lead. Here's what we're going to do for the next period of time. I hinted at it in our introduction of how we handle the start of the service where I stated the theme. What we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation about communion. We're going to focus in this conversation on what it is that brings us together. Because that's the important element about communion. I don't know when it's going to end. It's going to go on for a while. But I want to focus that, for me, what I want all of us to try to do with the element of idea of communion is to focus on the idea of taking God's blessing, taking God's grace, taking what God has given us, blessing it in some way, breaking it, and then sharing it back with the world. I think people will recognize who Jesus is if we can do that and make that a vital part of who we are. Let me invite you to let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, our request is to be one with you. One with you, one with ourselves, and one with this community. May the Jesus that we worship, may the Jesus that we encounter here in the bread and the cup mess with our lives just a little bit and shake them up so that we can be one with you in all that we do. And all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand as you are able. Let me invite you to go out into God's world, having heard God's word, having reflected on God's grace, and knowing that God invites us to be changed by the action of communion. God invites our hearts to be changed, our warm hearts to be warmed. God invites this calling the past into our present in anticipation of a wonderful and glorious future. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of God's children say,
Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.